the HTB podcast. Subscribe now so you don't miss future episodes.
Welcome to the HTB podcast. After the driest April on record, potato growers need to carefully schedule their irrigation programs. In this episode, we will discuss about irrigation systems efficiency, licensing for obstructing water, how to use irrigation to reduce common scab, and finally, we will present an overview of one of the most important irrigation trials conducted this year, which looks at the possibility of using brackish water for potato irrigation in one of the driest regions in the UK. My first guest this episode is Nicola Dunn, AHDB Resource Management Scientist. Thank you for accepting my invitation, Nicola.
Thanks for having me.
Over the years, you have been involved in multiple studies researching different types of irrigation systems. Could you please tell us more about these studies? Which irrigation system did you look at?
Well, we started looking at irrigation in the Spot North farm in 2019, and we were really comparing the farm standard spray irrigation methods. So the farm there had rain guns and also booms that they used, and we were interested in comparing those spray irrigation methods with trickle or drip irrigation, which they hadn't used before, to look at the differences in both crop quality and yields, but also look at water use as well.
So we've seen in previous studies that some irrigation systems use less water than others. Does that make them more efficient?
There is a commonly held belief that rain guns are really inefficient, and I think that was one of the things that we wanted to look at. And I think what we find and what a lot of the industry agree with is that it's not always just about the technique, but it's also about the management of the technique that's important. So how regularly are you able to go out and check the uniformity of the distribution of water and make sure there isn't any runoff? So we have got 1 year's results from our first year of demonstrations at Spot North, and we did find that there was 15% less water used in trickle irrigation when compared to the farm standard. And that tends to be the case, but really it's about the management as well. And actually you can have high water use efficiency through using the other methods as well.
So if drip irrigation systems use less water compared with other systems, are they more efficient than others, or can they be used in a combination with other systems? What's your advice on this?
What we found at Spot North was that it's unlikely that the farm is going to completely move across into trickle irrigation, because they still appreciate the flexibility that the rain guns offer them. Once you have the trickle tape in the ground, you can't move that about, and that's the setup for that season. So they see that probably in the future that they might use less of the spray irrigation methods, and they might integrate trickle into the system, maybe on different fields where different crops, where different markets are being grown. So it's about getting the best of both worlds, I think, and managing the flexibility and the costs along with that water use and the water efficiency through the different methods.
So based on cost and quantity of water use, which irrigation system could be the best choice for potato growers?
So it really depends on the costs of setting up. You know, there's an investment cost for changing over to any new system, and there are ongoing costs for trickle or drip irrigation systems, which need to be factored in. Obviously, the cost of water is only one part of the overall cost of using any system. So that and the management time that goes into actually using any of these methods has to be considered. It's quite interesting that some of the findings from our first year and the insights from the farm manager, Will, was that actually he could see that a lot of his management time could be reduced by using the trickle irrigation, perhaps in combination with sensors and other new technology, which actually takes some of the management burden off of him. So it'll be a combination, I think, again, of looking at the overall cost, but also thinking wider than just the financial or the water use, and looking more about the personnel requirements to use any of these systems.
So there are ongoing studies to find out which irrigation system could be the best one for potato growers. The reason I mention water consumption is because in the last couple of years, we've seen a reduction in water resources available for growers. Recently, there was also a change in regulation for abstracting water. Nicola, can you please give us more details about the new changes? What should growers be aware of?
Sure. So there is an ongoing program through the Environment Agency where they're looking under the abstraction reform. They are looking at licenses and the justification for the volumes that are permitted under those licenses. So in some cases, we are aware that headroom on licenses has been reduced. So that's the amount that growers have in their licenses really for getting through the dry years. So it's more than what's used on average, and that has been under threat in some licenses, meaning that in times where water is short, that there could be pressure for those growers who are reaching their license volumes too early in the season. So I think there's such an importance now on, number one, justifying the water that you use, but also being able to demonstrate that the water you do use is being used efficiently. I should also mention that trickle irrigation is now licensed. It wasn't previously in the past, but it is now part of licensing. We found this out at Bot North and we had to apply for license variations with the Environment Agency, which was a relatively simple process, but it did take a few months. So if anyone hasn't used trickle irrigation before, they will need to go to the Environment Agency and have their license varied to add trickle or drip irrigation to the list of uses.
Do you have an update on the current situation? What are the levels of surface and groundwater?
Well, following on from the extremely wet weather that we saw in the autumn and the winter, the little bit of good news that we had from that really difficult situation was that it was good for groundwater recharge. So all the aquifers, which were under a lot of stress last year, have actually been topped up to where they ought to be, and they're sitting pretty much at the normal levels, so where you would expect them to be at this point in the season. Surface water is a different story this year. Obviously, that's a lot more impacted by rainfall, and we've seen extremely dry conditions really over the past couple of months. So the flow in those rivers has been dropping, and it is below normal in a lot of catchments currently. And so there's a real worry, I guess, as we look into the season, that there could be the risk of more hands-off flow conditions where growers can't abstract, and those really impact on anyone who's still got a direct spray license and is taking water directly from surface waters. This won't be anything new to growers, but it was reflected by the Environment Agency when they released their prospects for irrigation for the season, and they updated at the end of April, and that was a slight downgrading in a lot of areas, meaning that because of the dry weather, there was this prospect of hands-off flow and interruptions as we go through the season. For that information and for monthly updates from the Hydrological Outlook, we store all that information on the AHDB website at ahdb.org.uk/weather.
That's great. Thank you very much for speaking to us today, Nicola. My second guest this episode is Dr. Mark Stallam, head of NIAP Cambridge University Farm. Welcome, Mark.
Hello, Maria.
Over the past years, you have conducted multiple research projects looking at irrigation and how it can be optimized to improve yield and quality in potatoes. One of these studies was looking at how irrigation can decrease the risk of common scab on tubers. Can you please tell us more about this research? When is the best time to apply water and in what quantity?
Yeah, I mean, this has a long history going back to really the late 1960s with work conducted by Rothamsted on their sandy site at Gleedthorpe. Derek Lapwood was a pathologist who worked at controlling common scab on the main varieties of the time, Majestic, King Edward, and had a difficulty in growing due to the packing requirements coming through at that time, material without common scab. And in summary of 5 years of their work, they showed that frequent small doses of water controlled the instance of common scab more effectively than allowing nature to take its course, i.e. rainfall, or bigger doses that growers were more traditionally used to. So if we then move on effectively from the beginning of the 70s right through to the beginning of the 90s, the work at Cambridge University Farm with my colleague David Furman we were working with a different variety, Maris Piper, which is still the most susceptible variety that we've ever discovered worldwide, the common scab. And we tried to develop a technique to manipulate the levels of disease down to the levels that packers required in the early 90s. So we were working to much more stringent standards, which have improved over the years to make the tuber blemish free. So we looked at their frequent irrigation and thought, what happens if we go even more frequent? Do we reduce the level of disease down even further? And in summary, yes. So Derek Lapwood's work, putting it in modern terms, was a 15 millimeter dose of water applied every 3 to 5 days whenever the soil moisture deficit reached about 15 to 18 millimeters. We used that as our control treatment in our trials back in 92 to 95 and actually found that if we applied daily or every alternate day, so every 2 days, with smaller amounts, typically 5 or 10 millimeters of water, when the soil was wetter, typically a soil moisture deficit of 5 to 10 millimeters, we could actually reduce the level of disease significantly lower. Packers were interested in this, but it's a very difficult practical problem to apply daily irrigation regimes on most commercial farms. So we sort of drew the line under that in 1995, and all of my irrigation scheduling work that I've been doing, we've done over 10,000 fields since the system started, has actually shown that we treat most varieties like Maris Piper, therefore will avoid the disease. So frequent doses allied to commercial practice, typically 12 to 15 millimeters applied when the deficit is of similar amounts. So we're bringing the soil back up to field capacity.
Thanks, Mark. So the right amount of water that growers should apply is between 12 to 50 milliliters. What happens if they apply more? We know that overwatering could lead to cracking and other issues. How can growers measure the soil moisture deficit to avoid applying too much water?
Yeah, the key is, as we've mentioned, is that we're trying to bring the soil back effectively to field capacity. We run very small soil moisture deficits and then we apply the water similar amount to the soil will hold. Because of the real significance financially of getting common scab control wrong and the way we currently apply most of our watering with rain guns attached to hose reels, growers err on the side of caution, which means they probably aren't applying our 12 to 15 millimeters. They tend to apply more water at individual doses. Well, that just means more water that's wasted because the soil won't hold it against gravity and it drains. However, irrigators spread water not as evenly as most growers would really like. And so we can end up with parts of the field getting 25 millimeters of water and some getting 6 or 7 millimeters of water. One area with underwatering clearly leads to scab, but the area where we overwater, or perhaps where we're growing on slightly heavier soil, leads to overwatering. So what we've got is a fine balance between the issues that we might associate with dry soil, common scab, and the issues with overwatering, which can still be pathological. They can be powdery scab. So powdery scab will start to come in if you've got inoculum from seed or soil around about the end of scab control. So if you're keeping it too wet, that disease will then come in. And that's equally as downgrading in terms of quality for a packer. The other one is that we might start getting some physical effects of overwatering, things like you mentioned, like cracking. And we know that consistent overwatering during that early period of a crop's life, so typically 2 to 6 weeks after emergence, can lead to some very significant effects on cracking in some varieties. Maris Piper, susceptible to scab, but also susceptible to cracking. Variety like Safari that we had was incredibly susceptible to cracking, deep longitudinal cracks, which it was better to back off and not water so frequently and to avoid scab, but avoid the risks of overwatering and cracking. Vale Sovereign was a variety that we had in AHDB trials back in the sort of 1990 to 2005 period. And we found that was very disfigured by the longer we watered for scab control. So shortening the watering period made less cracking, but also gave us a good scab control. Not the best, but we gave a very good compromise between the two. And what we've done over the years with various commercial sponsorship from packing companies and with AHDB money is put together a watering guide, which is best practice irrigation, effectively, seasonal water management for potatoes. And what it shows is there's a balance between common scab control and the risk of cracking. And we know there's a myriad of varieties out there. It's not just Maris Piper. So we've ranked varieties according to their risk from common scab and ranked varieties according to their risk of cracking from overwatering. And sometimes they are in line and sometimes they reverse. So there's a fine balance to be made on that basis.
What tools can they use to measure the soil moisture deficit? Are there any tools out there?
Yeah, so what we're looking at is, as I mentioned, it's almost like a water balance. 15 or 12 millimetres of water disappears from the soil, and hopefully we bring back water from an irrigator to top up that soil back up to field capacity. With most potatoes being grown on ridges or beds, both of them actually have sloping sides, and irrigation applied from overhead sources, so rain guns and booms, tends to shed off the edges of those beds or off the flanks of the ridge, and therefore a predictive system about saying what deficit you've got and how much you need to apply may not actually be happening in the soil. So what we need to do is either measure or estimate a way of whether the ridge is wet or dry enough for getting common scab. Now, we can use measurement tools, and this is where measurement tools play a real role, is that they measure very small volumes around where they're actually inserted. If they do that, that's ideal, because we're trying to measure the water content just around where the tubers are. So one inserted in a ridge, typically where the mid-depth of tubers are, gives us a very good indication as to whether water is actually getting to that level. But they're expensive, and not many are often put out into the field. Certainly, there's not five or six put out. There might be one. What relevance is that, and what accuracy have you got there? The other way is simply to go out, dig a hole into the ridge or the bed and ball the soil that you dig out into a hard ball with your hand. And it's a very simple approach, but if it balls together and doesn't break apart, that soil is sufficiently wet enough to prevent common scab. It may not tell you when you next need to irrigate, but it will tell you today that you don't currently need to be irrigating. Conversely, if your soil won't ball together, you either should have been in there today or last week to doing that. So there's some simple methods and there's some more complicated methods, but really it's about assessing how dry the soil is in your ridge. And if water's shedding off and you're not wetting up, doesn't matter whether you put 40 on or 10, you need to go back there and irrigate to ensure that ridge is wet.
So you mentioned before that some varieties can be more resistant to common scab and dry weather. How do you suggest growers adjust their irrigation programs depending on variety?
Yeah, we, as I mentioned, published a list via AHDB on varietal susceptibility to scab. And in the table, it's got our rankings in terms of how irrigation controls common scab. So the most resistant varieties, we can afford to put less water on during scab control. We can afford to use bigger doses because the intervals are bigger. And we actually can afford to start later. So we might actually, with some very resistant varieties like Vel Sovereign, we might only irrigate for 2 weeks, whereas for Maris Piper, we might irrigate for 4 weeks. We can then rank varieties in four groups. We were criticised by only having three groups, but four groups. There are clearly some group one, Maris Piper, and possibly Maris Pier in there as well, with some very resistant varieties. But the groups two and three in the middle sometimes move between groups. It's not a consistent story. But basically, that list has been superseded by new varieties coming on, the varieties we never tested. And what we do is we're working with people currently, actually, this year, to say, where does my new variety, fit in this category of five or four groups? Is it outside the range? No, we've never found anything outside the range we've got. But is it a group two or is it nearer a group three, with the view of actually being able to use the AHDB data to schedule irrigation better? So new varieties we have to sort of estimate. The problem is if we go to National List Trials or the AHDB seed variety database, the varietal rankings list for common scab aren't always as closely related to the irrigation response to controlling disease. It will give you an idea. Maris Piper is clearly one, and Vel Sovereign's clearly at the high end, maybe a seven or eight. but the other varieties are moving around again. So we really need to do the experiments. Growers can do their own experiments, but we did a similar piece of work with Spot Farm East over 2 years in, my memory's going, I think it would be 2017, 2018, where we put some new varieties in, and the host, Andrew Francis, put some new varieties of his own into there and came up with a quite different approach to how he would schedule two varieties on that scheme. So that was a way of using science and experimental data in a more demonstration purpose for growers. And many growers came to see those data, and I think that's useful.
And the final question, Mark. This podcast will be published on 2nd of June. What's your advice for the growers at this time of the year?
Yeah, so 2nd of June would be really the critical phase of scab control. And what I mean by that is many growers get hooked up on some of the original work is that we need to irrigate from tuber initiation. But with many varieties that we grow that are reasonably resistant to common scab, the real key is the middle 2 weeks of those 4 weeks. So weeks 2 and 3 to get the soil wet at the end of week 1 is the real target. Many growers currently are trying to get soils wet right at the beginning of tuber initiation, and it really is only the sensitive varieties like Desire, Pia, and Maris Piper that target needs to achieve. So take home messages, focus on the middle 2 weeks of scab control.
Thank you for speaking with me today, Mark. I'm sure growers will find your advice very helpful.
Great. Thank you, Maria.
My final guest this episode is Mark Taylor, Vice Chair at Nin Potatoes Ltd based in Lincolnshire. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
This year, you'll be running a very interesting trial on one of your members' farms, supported by funding from Innovative Farmers PL Lab and sponsored by AHDB with industry collaborators. I understand that you grow potatoes in one of the driest regions in the UK, and the working group you are part of is trying to find out if brackish water can be used for irrigation in potato crops. Can you please tell us more about this project and the partners involved?
Yeah, sure. So as a potato-run group, we're always interested in how we can improve our productive capacity of our crops. Water on our silt soils is a scarce resource, and we need to be really careful on how we use it. So the project really is looking at that and the use of brackish water. The programme brings together, yes, funding from innovative farmers, but importantly, collaboration across the industry. So as Nin Potatoes, our host farm is David Hoyles at GH Hoyles. We've got Andrew Hausman from the irrigation technology point of view, Ian Gould from Lincoln University, John Keir as our agronomist, supported by Anne Stone from the AHDB doing our coordination. So it's very much a collective effort.
Yeah, we can see loads of experts involving here. Can you tell us why are you interested in using brackish water?
Water is a very scarce resource, and we need to be very careful on how we use that limited availability. So water is often available in our dikes and ditches, but it can be brackish, so it can have varying levels of salt. So what we're looking to do is investigate our options for using that water. We can't use overhead irrigation.
So I understand that you can only use drip irrigation for brackish water. Can you please explain us why?
Yeah, okay. So potatoes are a salt intolerant crop. So if we apply salt to the foliage, there's a really high risk of scorching the foliage, and that will just reduce the crop's potential. So we can't risk that. Drip allows us to put the water where it's needed, in the ridge, so not affecting the foliage. So that's primarily why we're looking at trickle.
What are you hoping to learn from this project?
It's a bit directional, really. So we don't expect the results to be completely definitive, but if you can give us a bit of a tipping point as regards what salinity of water we could consider using, that will be a good step forward. To give you some idea, normal irrigation water could carry 250 milligrams of chloride per litre. We're testing up to 2,000 milligrams. Seawater is 19,000 milligrams.
How long will the trials last? When can we see the final results of this study?
It's a one-year trial. We were hoping to run a summer field day, but in the current conditions, that's not going to be possible. So we're looking to video a lot of what we're doing as field activity, and then the winter, we'll run a discussion meeting.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you for speaking with me today, Mark. I'm sure that loads of growers are looking forward to the results, and we'll be discussing again at the end of the year, perhaps.
Yeah, we will do. It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to find out more information about irrigation and other important topics, please visit our website on ahdb.org.uk. I would like to remind you that this month we will organize 4 webinars. 3 of them will be looking at storage and another one will be on herbicides. All growers are welcome to attend. More information about webinars can be found on ahdb.org.uk/events. Thank you.